So I'm going to start with a quote this morning because it's often quotes that sort of inspire me or motivate me, is probably a better word, to find a Dharma talk. So this is a quote from Jeanette Winterson, and I don't even recall where I found it. I sort of collect these, so to speak, when they strike me. But she is a feminist author. And here's the quote. For me, language is a freedom. As soon as you have found the words with which to express something, you are no longer incoherent. You are no longer trapped by your own emotions, by your own experiences. You can describe them, you can tell them, you can bring them out of yourself and give them to somebody else. This is an enormously liberating experience. So you probably can figure out why I might have pulled this quote from all the reading that I do, because it really describes what we're doing. And it's got some interesting words in it, like you are no longer trapped. That's an interesting word. And that then you bring out your experience, in the case of reflective meditation, and you give them to somebody else. Interesting. So it, and again, what it is really what we're doing in reflective meditation, we're finding language from our experience. That's not easy. It's not easy in the beginning, in the middle, in the or the end, but it's maybe most difficult, as though there is an end, but it is most difficult perhaps in the beginning to actually find words for our experience. For those of you who've been doing this for a while, which I can't see who's on the screen right now, but I bet it's most all of you, finding language for your experience has become your practice. So you've gotten better at it, just like anything you practice. So finding that, and why are we finding language for it? Why bother? Well, it helps us to sort of step back a few steps, if you can think of it spatially, while also staying connected to our experience. So stepping back, but we're not numb or dissociated from our experience. We're not turning our backs on it. We're actually becoming more aware of what happened rather than less aware. So there was a language that I used to use when I was teaching, and that language was being not too close, but not too far from experience. And I thought about that suggestion or that instruction when I was writing this talk, and I thought, like, how did you do that? How did I do that? And I realized, well, it doesn't seem like being told to do it would actually help me actually experientially do it. I mean, I could get it cognitively, but how do you actually do that? So what I'm my current thinking is the way you actually do it is with a structure such as the one that we have in reflective meditation. When there's an invitation to go right into your experience, you don't need to go elsewhere. There isn't a better place to be. There is, you know, but really just with what's going on when you are meditating. And then you reflect on it. Then you write about it. Then you talk about it. Then you maybe give it to someone else. I haven't really figured that part out yet. Not sure that I can find a, I'm not sure about that. So the way we teach in reflective meditation, as most of you know, is really let yourself get really close to your experience. You can be embedded in it. You can not know there's when we get into very absorbed states of mind, that is all there is. Everything else is blocked out. That'll happen. That's fine. Then step back, reflect, talk about it. It's a process. It's okay, be immersed, get very close, but then step back. And I used to think there was like some place, like some happy middle ground between not too close and not too far. It kind of inherently led me to a kind of striving and this fantasy that I could get it just right. I could find that place, not too far, not too close. So The quote is really about how language is liberated. And that's just interesting to really say, because of course we're on a path of liberation. That's a description of Buddhism. But so this finding language is liberating, according to the quote. And again, we often find the experience, the words, the language to describe our experience after the meditation ends, though sometimes within the meditation. So back in the 1970s, I lived at WomanShare, which was a piece of lesbian land in Southern Oregon. And we like to work together. I guess I like to work. Here I am still working. Anyway, we offered 5 days consciousness raising retreats. That was the language back then. We called it consciousness raising. But what we really did was what Jeanette Winterson described above. We found words for our experiences of women living in this, well, patriarchal society. And it was liberating. That's why we called it Women's Lib. Back to current time, back to reflective meditation. Paradoxically, when we're able to find words to describe our experience, it liberates us from being so identified with what we experience, or another way of saying it is being too close. It doesn't seem like it would be that way. It's almost like it would seem logically, cognitively, that turning our attention away from experience, turning our back on experience, would sort of liberate us from it. That's not how it works here. More we know our experiences more fully, we know them more subtly over time, we know similar experiences over and over again, though they're never quite the same. We know our experience with fuller descriptions, we find fuller descriptions in the sharing afterwards. The teacher often asks you about, prompts you for fuller descriptions, and over time we find more subtle and often more precise language. And it curiously liberates us from being so entangled in our experience. Now, this works in many ways. We're back to the teaching on conditionality. By knowing our experience, we come to know directly, to perceive, to see how all experience is conditioned, how all experience is dependent upon or leans upon other experiences. So these experiences are not really mine, but they are mine to know and to live as skillfully as I am able with them. And I will end the talk there.